lives. And it's a chance for us to hear different people using different language about ways in which they glimpse God. And so this morning we are hearing from Myrna Shadley, who is really quite remarkable. I am blessed to know her. And I hope that it is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to help you know her today, and for you to hear through her story, maybe how God is alive in your story. And so this morning we are reading from Psalm 139, and then hearing from Myrna. So I want to invite you to listen for the word of God. If you want to follow along, Psalm 139 is on page 609 in our pew Bibles. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of the Lord. As we invite Myrna to come forward to share, I want to invite you to what we've been doing each time we do this, where we have a few moments of silence just to give thanks for Myrna as she's sharing, and also to surround her with prayers. It can be a scary thing to come up here, even if you are a pastor's wife and have been involved your whole life in church. It still can be scary. And so in a few moments in our silence, I want to invite you to pray for Myrna, to pray with Myrna, to pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to us, and to give God thanks. Amen. So thank you, Myrna, for sharing with us this morning.
The words of that scripture that Monty just read, I first heard when I was 13 years old. I'll talk louder. Is that better?
There's always somebody in the back row. God bless our retired teachers. They help us. They keep us in line. Right, Freddie? Let's see what we're down there.
Okay. The scripture that Monty just read, I first heard when I was 13 years old, and I was at church camp, also for the very first time. And that was the scripture that we studied that week that they had in morning meditation, and then you went out and you sat in a quiet place by yourself, and you read a section of that each day. And that's when I really, I guess, began to realize that this God was my God, that this God was for me, and that I was for this God. I was one of those kids that came to church with a neighbor. My parents worked on weekends. They worked 7 days a week, actually. And so we had just moved to a new community. I was just about ready to start high school. It was in the summer, and the neighbor next door came over and offered to help if we needed any help and to welcome us to the neighborhood and to say, tomorrow night you will sit around my table and I will give you dinner. And Sunday I will take Myrna to church. And she did that every Sunday until Myrna could take Myrna to church. I grew up in the church. It was a Presbyterian church. And it was a church that believed in having young people right in the sanctuary with everyone else, and having young people up here reading scripture or helping with the offering. I got a lot of practice standing up in front and talking to people in church. And the youth program at that time was called Westminster Fellowship. Some of you might be old enough to remember that. Westminster Fellowship had a sentence that we said every time we met, that I will discover God's will for my life and I will do it. And it was in the church that I first worked with children in terms of teaching. I helped in the Sunday school, and then the Sunday school teacher had surgery, and so then I was the Sunday school teacher for most of the summer. And I was about 16 then. I loved it. And it was at that time that I decided, yes, I would go to college. I hadn't planned on doing that, actually. I was the first in my family to go to college of all my cousins. And it was only because I wanted to be a teacher and I needed to get that certificate, right, Gary? Yeah. So I taught from 1963 until 2013. And you can do that math later. I had about a 12-year break in that time from teaching. I love teaching, and God seemed to find a place for me where there was a different kind of need than you might expect, where children were marginalized, a word we didn't use then but we use today. I worked with migrant children who came eager with a language that I didn't speak and they didn't have my language. And we worked hard, and the first year I taught in that community, I had two boys that were so eager to learn to read. And I still remember their names after all these years, Francisco and Jaime. This was in Ventura County, a very agricultural county at that time. And those boys traveled then from Camarillo was the community, up to Washington State, and then back down to Texas, and then back to Arizona, and then back to California, because their parents picked the food we eat. They are migrant workers. Those boys, when they graduated from high school in Camarillo, were co-valedictorians of their class. It was a wonderful experience to see parents who hadn't had that opportunity want that opportunity for their children. The last, almost the last place I taught was here in Oakland. Some of you are familiar with Henry Robinson Multi-Service Center in downtown Oakland, and it's right next to the State Building. I taught there when the State Building was being constructed, so we had lots of opportunity to go out and watch a building go up from the ground to the almost sky. They had advertised and hired me for bringing a preschool program into the shelter. And I never knew from day to day exactly how many children I would have. It was usually 8 to 12 children. And I didn't have a yard or a playground, but I had downtown Oakland, and we found lots of places that worked. We went to City Center and we walked the curbs for a balance beam, and we were allowed to sit and put our feet in the water on hot days. We made friends everywhere. We made such good friends at Orange Julius, they just opened that year, that they invited us to come back. And when we came back, they said, "Do you have older kids there too?" These were children. I had one two-year-old and the rest were between 3 and 5. And she sometimes needed to ride on my hip as we walked, but most of the time she walked too. And I said, "Yes, we have children of all ages. The older children are in school." She said, "If you have high school students, we'd be glad for them to do internships here. We would love that. We're looking for a program that we could do that with." So our high school kids had not just work experience, but they got paid and drank a lot of Orange Julius that summer. And they worked there part-time through the year. Some of those students worked on as they went into community college. So I found lots of places that were really welcoming of us. And I probably, of all my teaching, that might have been my very favorite place to teach. But the important thing that I learned is that names are so important. Children's names are so important. That doesn't stop when you grow up. Adults' names are important too. I had an experience in a large urban child care center where we were bringing in students from the community colleges there to do internships, to do participation, observation and participation, where they would come for 6 weeks, twice a week, and they would observe for the 3 weeks, and then first 3 weeks, and then the last 3 weeks, they would participate. They would bring something in to share with the children, to read a story or to teach them a song or a game. And I had one young woman whose name was Tanzania. And when I interviewed her for coming for the internship, she said, "My name's really long." And I said, "That's fine if your name's really long. We'll learn your name." And then later on the play yard, I heard someone call her Alicia. And I thought, oh, maybe I misunderstood. I think that's Tanzania. I had 12 of these students in the program that year. So I went to her and I said, "Did you want to be called Alicia instead?" And she said, "Oh, it's okay." And I said, "What do you mean it's okay? Is that your name?" She said, "Well, no, but the teacher told me that Tanzania is too long and the children won't be able to say it." And I said, "Oh, the children will be able to say it. Tanzania is your name. Let's go practice it now with the children." And I took her by the hand and we sat on the grass and I said, "This is your new friend Tanzania, right? Can you say that?" They could say that. How we can put people in another place when we're not actually comfortable perhaps with them, or maybe that adult thought that name was too hard for her to say, but to say, "I know your name. You belong to me. I love you." That's the message that God has given to us. And that's the message that we need to remember with each other and with all the others in this incredible world that he's given us. So I thank you so much for being able to let me share. And I love that I'm here. You've probably figured out that we've known Monty and Christy for a long time, so we feel like we've come home almost. And so that's really good. And Pete and his guys are amazing. Thank you for what you've played and for what you're going to play. And remember that the kid that comes with the neighbor, you want to really be happy to see them. Thanks.
So I want to say thank you to Myrna. You got to know her a little bit, but she did not tell you that she had her calling in Sunday school, but that she ended up teaching Sunday school. She would teach godly play at their former church, and she taught it in English and in multiple Chinese dialects. And she doesn't speak Chinese, so ask her how she did that. God provides, and God calls us by name. So as we reflect on the word that God is and the word that we have heard through Myrna, I invite you to a few moments of silence, giving thanks. And maybe in that silence, you can even hear God calling you by name. And so we'll have a few moments of silence to be grateful and reflect, and then we'll continue with our song. Thank you, Spirit, for calling us. Give us ears with which to hear your voice. Amen. Let's stand as we are able as we sing together, Spirit, Spirit of Gentleness.